My next guest is on the line. He is Dr. Emmanuel Navon. He is a senior fellow at the Jerusalem Institute for Strategy and Security and a lecturer in international relations at Tel Aviv University. Definitely qualified then to weigh in on the issue we are going to discuss this afternoon. Statement made by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu recently made the headlines. He stated that Israel informs the United States of its security moves, but does not seek Washington's approval. Interesting statement there. Dr. Navon, let's unpack that statement. Thank you for being with me on Chai FM this afternoon. What's your take on that statement by Bibi Netanyahu? Is that mere electioneering or is there truth to it?
Well, it's a statement, obviously, that is directed mostly at domestic consumption, because at this point, after 2 years of war, it's pretty clear that Washington has more than a leeway on Israel, and that no move made by the Israeli government when it comes to the war and to the ceasefire are made without the approval of Washington. So I think Netanyahu was trying to minimize the fact that Israel is very much dependent on the United States at this point. Again, as you mentioned yourself, this is already an election year. The elections will be held at the latest in the fall of 2026. And the voters, of course, do not want to believe or to think that at this point Israel is not really making its own security decision without the green light from Washington.
I agree with absolutely everything you've just said. Honestly, that's my take on the situation as well. I just find it difficult to weave into that the strike on Doha.
So the strike in Doha, you're right, it's the exception that confirms the rule. In that case, Israel did act independently, but we saw the results. And the results are that because Donald Trump was so upset about this strike, that he basically imposed a ceasefire on his terms on Israel and on Hamas. And he also issued a statement, a presidential order, basically saying that any attack, any further attack on Bahrain, on Qatar, will be considered an infringement upon the security and the sovereignty of the United States. So in that case, Israel did act independently, but it also paid a very heavy price, not only because, unfortunately, the strike itself did not reach its target, but also because as a consequence, Donald Trump got very upset and he imposed a ceasefire, which is not necessarily the one that Israel would have wanted. And then, of course, there's this commitment of the United States to Qatar about preventing such further Israeli actions in Doha.
It's a particularly interesting incident because there are Israeli journalists. I'm thinking of somebody like Amit Segal, who has been quoted as saying that this was the most spectacularly unsuccessful strike ever, in terms of the fact that it got Qatar to pressure Hamas to sign the ceasefire deal. What would your take be on that?
I do think that this attack, even though it did not eliminate, unfortunately, the Hamas leadership in Doha, it did have a psychological impact on the leadership of Qatar, because they realized that they were no longer immune. Even though now, as I said, their immunity has been confirmed by President Trump. But until then, until the presidential order, I think the Qataris realized that they could no longer enjoy this immunity from not only granting a safe haven to the Hamas leadership, but also for basically funding and supporting Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood in general, including via their propaganda channel of Al Jazeera. So it might very much be that indeed, as Amit Segal argues, that the strike, even though it failed, did have a psychological impact, which contributed to the ceasefire between Israel and Hamas.
Dr. Navon, let's be honest. Israel's not in the nicest neighborhood on the planet. And now that the message is out that Israel can't do much without the okay from the USA, how, in your opinion, does that affect it from a geopolitical and strategic standpoint in how it is perceived in the region?
Well, I think that the speech given by Donald Trump at the Knesset over 2 weeks ago was very clear, which is that he fully supports Israel and Israel's ability to defend itself. So I think that indeed, on the one hand, there's a message that at this point, Israel is very much dependent on the United States, not only militarily, but also in terms of diplomatic relations, because given Israel's isolation in the world today, because of the war, especially in Europe, the U.S. is basically Israel's diplomatic shield, especially at the United Nations Security Council. So this dependency is very clear. But on the other hand, we do have today a U.S. administration and an American president who are very supportive of Israel, and who said so very clearly at the Knesset. So I think that the victory speech of Donald Trump at the Knesset sent a very clear message to Israel's enemies and allies alike in the Middle East and throughout the world.
And clearly, just as a byproduct of events that we've lived through over the past years, the Europeans have become an irrelevancy in this particular issue.
So they have been really absent from the ceasefire. That is very clear. But there's nothing new here, because the European Union does not really have a common foreign policy and a common security policy. It's an optical illusion. It never happened. You have too many countries with different interests. The major countries are unwilling to give up on their sovereignty and powers. And when it comes to foreign policy decision of the EU, you need a consensus, which is never reached. And so at the end of the day, you have some countries, especially France and the UK, even though the UK is no longer part of the EU, who decided to recognize a so-called Palestinian state to try to appease their constituents, but then it made them even more irrelevant in the Middle East. So indeed, I think today Europe, because of its division and because of also the failed strategy of governments who've tried to appease their Muslim and left-wing constituencies, have tried to to reap the fruit of the war, but then it made them even more irrelevant in the region. And essentially, the United States in that ceasefire and in that post-war period is the main, if not the only, relevant actor in the region.
Player. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. So I'm thinking Israel's lost the Democrats. I think that's plain and obvious. They're left with no longer bipartisan agreement, but rather the Republican support only. And I'm watching with enormous concern what's going on within the MAGA part of the Republican Party. I'm watching with serious concern the increasing anti-Semitism, somebody like Tucker Carlson. To what extent do you think Israel is now in a very vulnerable position, and to what extent do you think that this rising anti-Semitism within MAGA is something that Israel needs to be concerned about?
So thankfully, Tucker Carlson has not been able to really influence President Trump, which is, of course, something very important for Israel. There is, as you said, I wouldn't say a resurgence, but it's an anti-Semitism that always existed within the far right in the United States, Tucker Carlson being one of the examples. Thankfully, even though he has a very big fellowship, he is not, when you listen to the major figures of this administration, from President Trump to Marco Rubio, to the Secretary of Defense, they're all very supportive of Israel. Even J.D. Vance, the Vice President, even though he's a little bit more of an isolationist, but his approach to Israel is very much influenced by his Christian faith. So I think that as far as the Republican Party is concerned, yes, there are a lot of rotten apples, and we have to be aware of that. And regarding the Democratic Party, I think that you still have some moderate and normal people there, even though they're getting they're getting a bit isolated, especially if the candidate of the Democratic Party wins the election of New York City, which is likely. Obviously, the Democratic Party today has taken a very radical turn, but that's not everyone. And I'm sure there's still, of course, a lot of Congress people, of members of Congress, who are old-style Democrat and who are still supportive of Israel. Israel should not give up on the Democratic Party, even though it's taken a very concerning turn lately.
Dr. Emmanuel Navon, I'm going to leave it there this afternoon. Thank you for your time.